who lead the King's way, whether that is in business, at our homes, in our communities, with our friends, with our families. We always want to lead the King's way. So I know that there will be some people joining soon. I'm just talking right now. We'll have 5 minutes before the actual live stream podcast is scheduled to begin. But me being me, I got on early because I like to talk. So I'm Trinette Pierre. I am an executive coach, leadership development consultant, a professor, a registered nurse. I wear a couple of hats out in the business world. I've been in business for 30 plus years. I was a registered nurse for 23 of those years. Come and go. A lot of people come and go. A lot of principles change. A lot of principles come and go throughout the years. But one thing that has remained constant is those who are truly rooted and grounded. I've seen those people succeed by doing things the King's way. So I want to be a part of that, right? I want to be a part of those who are doing things the King's way and leading the King's way. So this is our first live podcast. I did do a recording a couple of weeks ago just to give you background on Leaders of Valor. And what we are leaders in our communities, in our homes, anywhere where you have been assigned. We want to lead the King's way. So what does that mean? It means showing up kingdom in everything we do. Do we do it perfectly all the time? No, because we're human. We can't do it perfectly. The expectation is not for us to be perfect in human form, but to be as close to Jesus's example as we possibly can. There was only one Jesus. Haven't been one before, won't be one after, only one. There will never be another. He is our prime example. He is the one who we should model our business models, our lifestyle, our relationships. Everything should be modeled after him and him alone, right? But I do believe that God sends us individuals who he imparts his wisdom and grants knowledge from Holy Spirit through those people to us. He speaks in various ways, right? He's not just speaking in the still small voice. He may speak through his word, whether it's written, spoken. He may send somebody your way who he has put an anointing on to speak to your specific situation. How do you know when that happens? Well, when you don't know the person speaking and it sounds like they're sitting in a room, sitting down, talking directly to you, that's the anointing of the Holy Spirit speaking directly to you through the human form that he is using to reach you. So with that being said, I'm hoping and praying that Holy Spirit is the one who is seen as we interact. I pray he speaks directly into your situations. I don't need to be seeing nobody interested in seeing this. We want to see Holy Spirit and want to hear what he has to say. This is what he's assigned me to do. I'm not a professional podcaster, but I know how to listen when he tells me to do something. It took a minute for me to learn how to listen, not to be obedient when he says to do something. So that's what we're going to go with. We're going to go with what he's telling us to do so that we can move forward in the purpose that he has assigned to us. So we thank God for the privilege of being able to speak to his people. And we pray that he is seen, not us, that his words come out, not mine. Trinette's opinion doesn't matter. Only the opinion of the Lord, right? So those of us who serve the Lord, God of heaven's armies, we believe that he will show up in a mighty way and that he will touch you and he will say exactly what needs to be said into your situation. He will speak directly. So with that being said, leaders of valor. Let's get to it. We want everybody in our circles to be leaders of valor. And you might say, well, I'm not a leader. I don't lead anything. I don't have a business or I don't have a position. But everybody has a position. Are you a mother? You're a leader. Are you a father? You've been assigned to lead your family. Are you an aunt, an uncle, anybody who has influence over another? You are a leader. While you may not have a title of manager, director, vice president, chief, anything, mayor, governor, president, those are management level appointments, you know, and we often get it wrong. Leadership and management, totally different. Some of the strongest leaders I've ever worked with were individuals who worked on my nursing units, on my front line. They were never given the title of manager. They were never given the title of supervisor, but they had the influence because of their wisdom, because of how they carried themselves. They had influence in that sphere. So they were able to influence those they worked alongside and called peers. Same is true in your families. You may not be mother in the group, but you may be the older sibling. You have influence over your younger siblings, over some of your cousins, some of your relatives who, while you may not be their parent, they look to you because they respect your opinion. They see you as someone who can lead them and guide them. So you may be seen as a leader in that respect. In our friend circles, there's always one who the others look to, always one who the others look to for guidance, for support, to give them truth, even if it hurts sometimes. You know who to go to in your friend circle who's going to be honest and truthful to you. So those are seen as leaders. It isn't an HR appointment, that's management. Leadership is different. Leadership may not be stated, but it is felt. And one thing I've noticed throughout my career, there are a lot of people who are going around saying, yeah, I'm a leader. Okay. Has anybody else ever called you a leader? Because if not, your definition of leader might need to be revamped. You are a leader in many respects, not just if you have a title, not just if you have an office, but you can be a leader in your home, in your family, in your friend circle. There are various aspects where God has called us to lead others to Him. And that's what it's all about. So in this episode, I want to talk about something that is rarely really discussed in business forums. It's rarely discussed in many podcasts, or I hear it in a lot of sermons, which is a good thing because we need to hear it. But I want to talk about something that's kind of put on the back burner in modern business and in modern culture. And that is disappointments, letdowns. Can your why survive a no? And that's the title of this podcast today. And I went back and forth because there are a few things I could say about this, but we just gonna leave it there. Can your why, can your reason, can your purpose, can it survive being let down? Can it survive disappointments? And to start, I'm going to tell you, I've seen a lot of disappointments through life. If you live long enough, you're going to be disappointed. Disappointments can come in many forms. Disappointments can come from those you love, as well as those you're not too fond of. Disappointments can come to bruise you or to grow you. Disappointments can come from people who mean well, or people who have harsh intentions or evil intentions behind their no. They can come in the form of blocks or in the form of a detour. Is it a test versus a block? Disappointment can often come, get ready, your theology about to be screwed up. They can come from God. Disappointments can come from God. Is he doing it to disappoint us? No. Case in point, there are a lot of people in biblical history, and you may know of some, I'm one of them, who God, we thought he disappointed. You know, our expectation was here, and God brought us here. While it may not have always been a no, it may have been a maybe, it may have been a wait, or it may have just been an outright no. And what I've learned is God doesn't usually tell us no. I don't know him to tell us no to give us something worse than he intended for us. I don't know God to say, no, Trinette, no, that's not for you. And then give me something lesser than what he said no to. He always exceeds our expectation. He always gives us far beyond what we thought we deserved or what we thought we needed. So his no's are actually something we should get excited about. But going back to biblical history, there are so many people, and you can plug and play your own situation. You know what you've dealt with. You know what you've been through. But so many examples throughout biblical history of God saying no, or God allowing disappointments to enter their lives for a specific purpose. He always has a reason. He's very intentional how God is. He always has a reason behind what he does or what he says or what he brings to your remembrance. He always has a reason behind everything he does. He doesn't move in confusion. He's very intentional. Thank you, Lord, for your intentional ability to reach us even when we think that he is not doing what needs to be done for us at the moment. Let me turn this up a little bit. But if you look at so many examples, Joseph in the book of Genesis, you look at Joseph, who was one of Jacob's sons. And if, by the way, if you don't have a Bible, there is a YouVersion Bible app that I love. I love that app because it has an audio component where it can actually read aloud the Bible to you if you have a million things going on. And I know people say you got to sit in a dark room and have a flashlight and read the word. God speaks to people on different levels. What works for you may not work for me. For me, there are times when I just need to get some word in. So that YouVersion Bible app on my phone, I'll pull it up and I'll turn to a specific verse. I'll say, Lord, show me what I need to see, because right now I want to say some things that are ungodly. So he'll take me where I need to go. The good thing about the YouVersion Bible app is they have a lot of plans. They have Bible reading plans. They have plans on every subject you think of, marriage to loss, to grieving processes, to anxiety. Those became really big during the pandemic because a lot of people were anxious. A lot of people were scared. There are Bible apps on healing, Bible apps on growing in the spirit, Bible apps on anything you could possibly think of. There are reading plans out there in the YouVersion Bible app. So if you don't have it, the link is in my description. Please, please familiarize yourself with it, and you can have the Bible at hand. I have the Bible app. I have Bibles. But this isn't something I tote around all day. I can use the YouVersion Bible app to pull up what I need at the spur of the moment, to get what I need from God in that moment. So if you don't have a Bible, don't go out and buy one. That YouVersion Bible app is free. They simply ask for donations to help spread the word. There are millions and millions of people who have been introduced to the Bible through the YouVersion Bible app. And now I'm introducing you, because I think it's a valuable tool to have on you at all times. Throughout the course of the day, so many things can come up. Sometimes you just need to hear a word. So with that being said, download that YouVersion Bible app. And what I do, mornings are times when I do YouVersion Bible app. I'll pull up all the plans that I'm reading at the time, and I'll just listen to those as I am on my commute. Used to be I would listen to the radio, and that wasn't feeding me. That wasn't giving me anything to go into these places and deal with these folks who try to take you to another level. So I've learned to listen to the YouVersion Bible app on my way to work. I listen throughout the day if I'm not listening to a sermon online. Something that uplifts and encourages me. Dr. Darius Daniels with Change Church. Phenomenal, phenomenal spirit-led teacher. He's not just speaking to get a rise out of you. He is teaching. Michael Todd, Transformation Church, y'all, Tulsa, Oklahoma. I'm in Transformation Nation. I'm in Change Online, Change Global. I believe in going where I am fed. So these individuals are, it's amazing how Holy Spirit can speak exactly what I need to hear through certain individuals and through certain sermons. T.D. Jakes is another one who has played a phenomenal role into meeting the need right then. And it kills me how he constantly says, I don't know who I'm talking to, but God is telling me, but Holy Spirit said. And whatever I'm doing, y'all, about to get emotional, whatever I'm doing, I have to stop. Like, what is going on? Is God? Is God telling him, speak on this, because my child needs to hear it? Just yesterday, He has this sermon, and it's so pivotal and integral to what we're talking about today, navigating disappointments. It is entitled T.D. Jakes' Defense Against Offenses. Exactly what I needed to hear when I needed to hear it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit put it on my YouTube page for me to click on next. He knew what I needed to hear. But in that sermon, T.D. Jakes, he goes on to tell you, I don't know who I'm talking to, but this is the situation. You know, you started your business and you've done this and you've done that and nothing seems to be coming through. Exactly what I needed to hear when I needed to hear it. When I was sitting in this very office going, when is everything going to pan out? When is it coming? You know, drowning in my disappointments. That is when that sermon popped up. Holy Spirit, God is very intentional. And he gives you exactly what you need if you ask him. He's there. So anyway, back to YouVersion. If you pull that up, go to the book of Job. Job is in the Old Testament. This is one story of many. There are so many disappointments that God used for good in the end. But in that moment, just as you and I have, those individuals in these narratives, these recollections of what happened way back when, faced a lot of disappointment, just like we face today. One that never ceases to amaze me, you know, is Job. Why? Because the book of Job, if you find it, Job chapter 1 and verse 1. And to me, the verse 1 and the first couple of verses is enough to end the whole book of Job right there. Here it is. There was a man, Job chapter 1, verse 1. Job, J-O-B, spelled like job. Job. Insight into how God works and God's nature. And even though we don't think that he's working and moving behind the scenes, these books show us otherwise. So Job, spelled J-O-B like job, Job chapter 1, verse 1. This is how the book opens. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. Good, right? He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had 10 kids. He had massive possessions. God had blessed him tremendously, exponentially. So Job was pretty good. That's verse 3 of chapter 1. And then verse 4 says his sons would get together and have feasts or dinners or parties or what have you. They spent family time with one another, as many of us do with our siblings and our family. We love doing that. We like to eat. Excuse me. And so did Job's children. So they got together and they would have these feasts. Well, chapter 5 says, Job was such an upright man, even though he didn't attend these dinners, he didn't know exactly what was going on in the. He didn't know what was going on. Maybe they were partying. Maybe they turned up and had some things that were not of God going on in these parties or these get-togethers. So Job would offer sacrifices on behalf of his kids. He wanted to cleanse them in the eyes of God, just in case. He didn't know, just in case. They were doing something that went against the will of God. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 of the book of Job, J-O-B. Sounds good, right? Good start. Excellent. Love it. Upright man following God, make sure his family was on track. He was blessed and highly favored. God shone his face upon him and sounds good. Verse 6. And this is where I kind of go, huh? Sounds good. Job is living the life. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version, just in case you were wondering. But in my YouVersion Bible app, I frequently read out of the New Living Translation. All right, so there comes a day when the sons of God go to present themselves before God. Angels, you name it, go to present themselves before God. And Satan also came among them. So Satan is presenting himself before God. He got to bow down too. Don't get it twisted. He got to bow down too. So he presented himself before God. And God typically asked Satan in verse 7, what you been doing? What you been up to? What's been occupying your time? Satan answered the Lord and said, oh, I've been going here and there, to and fro, looking around the earth to see whose life I can mess up. This is what gets me. Verse 8. I'm going to go to New Living Translation. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed, in King James and New King James, is, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil. And I'm like, wait, Job's life is going perfectly. Until Satan presents himself before God. And he's like, I'm trying to mess somebody's life up. You know, I'm trying to figure out who I'm a mess with today to get them off their God-given purpose, to mac them off their divine blessing and get them as far away from you as possible. Instead of God saying, God is amazing, but I'm so confused by the story. Instead of God saying, well, good luck, God said, you know what? Have you considered Job? Have you considered Job? Check him out. Go try to mess his life up. Go to. That to me was like, what? God offered up Job as someone that he was going to allow to be tested. How does that play in our lives? Sometimes disappointments, even though things are going well, we come across these disappointments and we wonder why. Why is this sitting on my, I'm doing everything right. Thank you, Lord. I'm doing everything right. I'm doing what God said. I'm trying to live according to his word. I'm being a leader of valor. I'm letting him lead and guide every aspect of everything I do. I'm representing him. And tomorrow this happens. Why? It's the why. Why? Why did this happen? Why did God offer up Job? Did he offer him up because he wanted to see Job be hurt? Did he want Job to shy away from him? Or was he trying to strengthen Job in the middle of that disappointment? There's so much that happened in this book, and is it 30 something chapters long? Maybe pushing 40, 41, 42. 42 chapters. But there, in the very first chapter, he loses all of his kids. There was a disaster that came through, and the home where they were getting together to gather and have a dinner or a party or whatever collapses, loses all of his kids in one fell swoop, loses all of his livestock, all of his possessions. He went through a period, he got deathly ill, you know, he had boils and all this other stuff, all these things that even though Satan implemented, God allowed. He allowed these things to come into Job's life. There was so much disappointment there that Job's wife at one point said, you know, he didn't take Job's wife from him, but he took everything else. Job's wife at one point had a weak moment where she was like, you know what? Why don't you just curse God and die? You still believing in the name of the Lord. Why don't you just curse God and die? She was weak. Imagine losing 10 of your kids, losing all of your kids, going from a woman in that culture, in that society and time. Job was seen as a strong leader. He was seen as a strong leader that others came to for advice. He would put others on track, offer up sacrifices for others when they could not stand for himself. He was interceding for others just as he did for his kids. So he was seen as a strong wisdom-filled elder of that time. So guess what? When you're seen on that level, your wife was seen on that level. Your wife was one who was a woman of woman, a mother of mothers, someone who was seen as, I guess, what we would expect the president's wife to be seen as, you know, or a king's wife, a queen to be seen as. They were somebody who was revered among the women in their society, simply because of the status that their husbands have. So imagine, you know, she probably lost all her friends because they assumed that all of this occurred. If you read through the whole book of Job, is some craziness. He had friends who turned against him and pretty much told him, you know what? We know you're doing this because you were a sinner. Always have haters that show up. We know you've been sinning. Yeah, you profess, you stand at the gate of the city and you act like you have wisdom and God is on your side. We know you've been living foul. That's why all this is happening. You know, it was this whole society of your sins will tattle on you at one point or another. Your sins will catch up with you. And ultimately, that wasn't the case. God allowed Satan to disrupt Job's life with few limitations. He said, do what you want to him, but do not kill him. Spare his life. But when you had all that other stuff going, you lost all 10 of your kids, you lost all your possessions, you lost your status in that society. Your friends are now coming to you. The same people you uplifted are now coming to you and telling him, we know you're a sinner. We knew you couldn't be too upright. Mm-hmm. Look at you now. There are always people who want to pull you down further than you're already down. They want to take you to the next level of low when you're feeling low. So this is what Job had going on. He had all this situation going on with little explanation from God as to why. As a matter of fact, which I seek often, I've read this book a couple of times, and I'm always wondering, why didn't God tell him why? Why didn't God say, you know what? I allowed Satan to do this to you because... We had a glimpse Job didn't have. We had a glimpse into the why. God bet on Job. God knew that Job was so upright that he trusted God so much, that he was so faithful, that nothing the devil put against him or threw at him was going to knock him off his purpose. So God bet on Job. He bet on Job. He put his name on Job. It's like the Lord said, I got 100 on Job. He is not going to disappoint me. But Job never knew. Job didn't know about this conversation that went on in the heavenly realm. Job didn't know all that went on behind the scenes. All he knew is that he kept his trust in God. He questioned why it happened, but he never got an answer. God never came back and said, you know what, Job? Oh, I'm sorry. This is why I allowed it to happen. God's response to Job at the end of this book was, after all his friends, all the haters showed up and tried to tell him how evil he was, and now God was repaying him for all the evil he'd done, basically just knocking him down, trying to knock him off of everything God had assigned him to do, which is what the devil tries to do in moments of disappointment and severe hurt. This had to be severe hurt for him to deal with everything he dealt with. But moving on. Towards the end of this book, God steps in after everybody has said their say, everybody has said, put their two cents in, which amounted to nothing, because true friends will uphold you and uplift you. They won't only sit with you until you start speaking, which was the custom in that day. They believe you sat and you didn't say anything until the person who was going through the hurt, the grief, the pain started uttering words. Then you can join in. Other than that, they sat with you shrouded in silence, putting ashes in their hair and on their face and tearing their clothes. Those were signs of severe grief or regret. So his friends did all that, and then Job spoke, and then, you know, they had their rebuttals. And it went on and on and on for chapters and chapters of Job just being beat down by the people who were supposed to love him and uphold him. Keep that in mind. The people who he thought were his support system. Curse God and die. His wife was in pain. She was hurting. She was watching her husband suffer. She'd lost all 10 of her kids. Imagine lining up 10 coffins and burying 10 of your kids or 10 of your family members and having your livelihood stripped. So she was speaking from a place of guilt. We got that. And I think a lot of times people judge her. You haven't lived it, so you can't really judge her. I'm learning that. Dr. Darius Daniels talks about that a lot. Don't judge what you haven't lived. And that's my takeaway from what he says. Don't judge. You can guess at how it feels, but until it comes to your door and take up residence in your guest room, you don't know what you would do or what you would say in that moment. I don't know what would happen if all 10 of my kids were killed on the same day. You don't know how you react. So don't judge too harshly if you haven't walked in her shoes. But anyway, all of Job's friends, everyone that he's dealt with, the people who he thought had his back, he realized did not. But as Job said throughout the book, my complaint is with God. My complaint is not with you. My complaint is with God, and I need an answer from him. You can think whatever you want. I don't have to prove my innocence to you. I need to hear from the Lord. And at the end of the book, God comes in and he's like, who is this that questions my wisdom and why I didn't? He gets into this, y'all, this gangster, how he came at Job, when he start talking about, where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? Where were you when I told the oceans you can only come this far? Where were you when I put the sun in place and told it only once? You shine during the day. Moon, you shine at night. I don't need you to be too bright, though. I don't want you to be too close to the earth or you're going to burn my people up. I need you to be right here to give them enough warmth. I need you to be right here to make sure they're warm but not burned. I need you to make sure they're illuminated. They can see during the day, but I don't need you to blind them. Try looking at the sun. If it would have been a millimeter closer to earth, it would have changed everything. So he knew exactly what he was doing. So he goes in on Job and say, "What? Where were you when I had this going on, when I had that going on? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the world? You weren't there." And I often say, growing up, of course, you always heard the elders say, don't you ever question God. Question God. God says, question me. Ask me why, but be ready for my answer. I'm going to respond to you, and it may not be what you expect. So in the midst of all this, Job, he questions God, and he's talking about, the why throughout the whole book. And then God steps in and is like, you still want to question? And God is, and Job is like, I'm so sorry. You know, I was talking about things that are too wonderful for me to understand. You asked who it was that questioned you. It is I. And I will shut my mouth now because I don't know what I'm talking about. But God went on and kept just throwing it at Job. Well, where are you? How do you know what's going on? You know, when you go to sleep at night, I still got things flowing and I don't have